You ought to be able to touch me and run the devil out of your mind. Oh, come on, praise his name. You ought to be able to touch me and get salvation. You ought to be able to touch me and get an understanding of who God is. Oh, come on, do I have any icons in here? Oh, yeah, you ought to touch somebody and say, show me.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcasts can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn them, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. To commence reading at verse 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers, and more especially for his holy word. Gracious God, our Father, again, thank you for this word, and thank you for what you shall choose to reveal to your people, those who are here in the sanctuary, those who listen by radio or cassette tape. We thank you, God, for the revelation you shall present to every hearer's heart. Now, Lord, do in us what you desire for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this text today that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he talks about the heavenly wisdom of the gospel. That is, without doubt and without fail, the revealed mind of God. One of the things that I think is important as Paul strikes these words in this first letter to the church at Corinth, and as he moves to the second chapter of this letter, he talks about himself not coming in the way that would excite man and entice man to think that he is all about himself, sharing and showing his ability to speak in such a powerful and prolific way. He was making clear that the wisdom that he had and was sharing was that of God and not just that of the world. He says, "And I," verse 1, "brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And then he starts talking to us about this godly wisdom that comes through the gospel, this rich and wonderful word that brings about the revelation of God's heart toward man and the things that he's planned and prepared for man. And then he brings the reality to this word by saying, in essence, that you'll never ever truly know the deeper things underneath the skin and underneath the surface that God has prepared for you unless you have relationship and it is revealed by the Spirit of God. You see, one of the things that God is making clear is, though you understand the words of the text, it takes the Holy Ghost to make them relevant and real to the reader. A whole lot of folk may be able to say, "I don't need a preacher to preach to me, nobody to teach to me. I can read the Bible by myself and for myself." And truly you can, but you'll never get the deeper understanding, revelation, and the wisdom that God has placed in those words unless it is done through the Spirit of God and those whom God directs to disclose revelation knowledge. Look at what he says, because he says in verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." He said the wise men of this world, the wise men and those who are considered to be wise and those who are considered to be knowledge, we speak wisdom in the midst of those who claim to know it all. And yet, though they know it all, they don't know this. Now listen at this, because I want you to understand. He says, "which none of the princes of this world knew." None of those wise folk, these wise men, these people who are supposed to be so knowledgeable. "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And you know, my brothers and sisters, God knows that there are some people who think that they know it all, and yet in the midst of their thinking that they know it all, they make such foolish and unwise decisions and mistakes. It is something about the world and how they have gone about to do what they have done, leaving out the revelation of God's word, the mystery of God's word, and more especially that God had planned for this world. Matter of fact, Paul brings up the fact that if these wise folk really knew what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Son of God. But look at what he goes on to say. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And it's amazing how God's wisdom is so far richer and more removed from this world and their ability to comprehend in the natural mind. And he makes clear, without the Spirit of God, you can't understand spiritual things. Without the Spirit of God, you cannot even begin to unfold and to disclose the deeper knowledge and revelational truth that God has embedded in the same word. It's amazing how one person can pick up the word and read the same words and, without the Spirit of God, be able to understand deeply what those words mean. They may have a surface knowledge because they have a surface knowledge of the word. There may be some etymology that they're connected with. They know the meaning of the surface of the word, but when they put it all together, they don't know the bigger picture, revelation, or reality of what they've just said. You can have a PhD degree and yet be able to speak about many things as the wisdom of this world, but when it comes to the word of God, it doesn't matter whether you have a PhD degree or a first grade education, you still need the Holy Ghost to reveal what God is saying. Now listen at this. He says, and I want us to deal with this a little bit. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You can have saved people in the congregation and unsaved in the congregation, and only the saved with the Spirit of God hearing what they are hearing will be able to receive the mystery unfolded. And a person sitting on the side of them, unsaved, unregenerated, without the Spirit of God, will still not understand what the person on the side of them is shouting about. Because the mystery is reserved for those who know him in relationship and fellowship and have the indwelling person, power, presence of the Holy Ghost interpreting and applying the word to their situations. And that's why it no longer amazes me when I see folks sitting in church on Sunday. We're going for some of them. We're going for it. They so busy writing notes to one another, all about this and all about that. They sitting up there looking in space, counting all of the planks in the rafter. While somebody on the side of them can't hardly hold their seat because the revelation knowledge is coming forth and they are being able to receive what the Spirit is not just saying from the speaker's mouth and interpreting what is on the word, but applying it to their lives. Listen. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before the world unto our glory. There are some things that God has placed dispensationally before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever made, created, before you and I were ever in existence, and before time ever began. God placed some things dispensationally in place for that time that we now live in, that he has revealed for us and that he has reserved for us. There are some things in dispensational order that he's not ready to reveal till now. Some prophets of old couldn't prophesy, could not present this, or could not even preach this to the point of perfection at this point, because the fullness of time for those things that God has for us in this day had not yet come. But that's why we must understand all that God has placed in the word is in the word, but all that is to be gotten out of the word has not yet been gotten out of the word. There are some things that the Holy Ghost is not going to reveal that is not relevant for you, but what is relevant and what is real and what is right for this time, the Holy Ghost will bring it up and bring it to full understanding so that you can operate in it and have it for this day and time. And that's why it's so important to read the word, study the word under the unction and knowledge of the Holy Ghost, so he can make what's real for you real to you. See, some of you, I've said it before, are claiming promises that were meant for the children of Israel in the wilderness that are no longer in operation today.
But there are some things Isaiah looked in the telescope of time and saw in our day and time that was meant for us, that was not meant for them in that day. And you've got to have the spirit of truth to reveal to you and apply to you what is relevant to you today. Woe is the saint who sits in the church on Sunday morning and think that they can interpret the word of God without the spirit of God. And think that they can claim the promises of God, the privileges of God, and the provisions of God without having the timing of God. Look again at what he says. He says, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. None of the wise folk in this world, wise counsel of this world, knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen, natural eye, listen, nor ear heard, natural ear. Neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now listen at this. God is so wise that he would not let your enemy know what he's got in store for you. Because if your enemy really knew what God had in store for you, he'd try to take you out of here. I need you to hear this word. Listen at what it says again. But as it is written, I have not seen. Follow me now. It's talking about the worldly eye, those who are looking in and at us but cannot see through us. Nor ear heard. They've got their ears everywhere trying to hear and listen at what God's trying to tell us. But thanks be to God, it's a private conversation. Listen, neither have it in, they can't even begin to imagine in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, not for the eye of the natural man or the ear of the natural man or the heart of the natural man, but for the spiritual man. Listen, them that love him. That's the qualifier right there. So those who don't love God can't hear, can't see, can't feel. Well, those who do love God have received of God. Look at what the next verse said and make it clearer. But God hath revealed them unto who? Us by his spirit. Now, that's why you need to be careful, saints, who go around quoting this scripture out of context. See, because when Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth, he wasn't talking about believers. He was talking to believers about non-believers at this point. He was saying to them, listen, you really don't know. No eye hath seen, no ear had heard, neither had it entered into the heart of men what God had prepared for them that love. He wasn't talking to us about us. He was talking to us about them not knowing what God has reserved for us, so that we'll understand what God has prepared for us. He reveals to us. So when somebody else sees this thing and don't understand this thing, don't understand why you shout, don't understand why you run, don't understand why you praise, don't understand why you commit your life to him, don't understand why you sacrifice, don't understand why you turn everything over to the Lord and trust him, it's because they don't know what the end result is going to be. But you do. Look at what the word says. But God hath, he has revealed them unto us. And how did he do it? By his spirit. For the spirit searcheth. Now listen at this, because I want you to get this revelation. All things mean all things, secular and sacred, in every area, in every arena, every avenue, all things. When the spirit of truth enters into the believer's heart and life, he begins to show you some stuff, not only about you, but about everything around you. concerning and connected with you. The Spirit is the one that reveals this kind of truth. You don't get this from the world. Now I want you to see what the word says. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. First thing the Spirit of God does when he comes on the inside of the believer, as the believer prepares, as the believer loves God and prepares to have intimate fellowship with God, the first thing that the Spirit does is it searches. Notice the Bible says the deep things of God. Now, what I like about the Spirit's job in this position is because God has some things reserved in my name just for me. He put that together before he even put the world together. There are some things, listen, and the reason why the Holy Ghost searches through them is because they've been put away so long ago. Y'all gonna catch this when y'all wake up. That he has to go through what God, notice the word again, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. If any of you are computer literate here, you'll know that there are major and great, depending on where you're searching, search engines that go and you put in a subject and you put in this, and they'll go to different websites and so forth and collect the information and then report back to you how much they have discovered on that subject that you have introduced. Well, it's just like the Holy Ghost when your name comes up. The Holy Ghost does an engine search with everything connected. It said in all things. That's just not spiritual. He knows the doors that are going to be opened for me. He knows the ways that are going to be made for me. He knows the things that are reserved for me. He knows the things that God's going to create for me. When he searches what is for me, he pulls it up in everything connected with me. Y'all don't know. Y'all ain't got revelation yet. Y'all don't have this thing. I ain't got to run around here seeking and looking and searching and scheming and plotting and planning. All I've got to do is get close to the Lord. For the Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. You know why? Because the Spirit is seeking and searching, and he's going to present them back to me. See, the Gentiles are wasting time looking for stuff when all I got to do is get close to God and he'll let the Holy Ghost search for me in some places I don't even know that exists. Look at what the word says. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Listen at this now. Yea, the deep things of God. Now here's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, wherever you are, whatever level you're on, whatever your place, your space, whatever stage, wherever you presently reside, the Holy Ghost begins right there. Now look at what his job is to do. Every level you can handle, he begins to reveal what's for you on this level. There are some things on level 1 that are so much different than things that are on level 10. But the reason why he can't give you level 10 yet is because you got to process down through the other levels to get ready to handle what's on level 10. You won't get deep, get close. And the closer you get to him, the more he makes you feel. Y'all ain't trying to hear the truth this morning. When you get close to him, the deeper, the deeper, the deeper, the deeper, the deeper, the deeper, the closer you get to him, the more he shows you. He he not only seeks out stuff for you and searches out stuff for you, but when he gets it all together, he starts showing it to you. Listen at this. Listen. I want you to see this. He compares here. He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now he tries to bring again the understanding of natural and supernatural. There are just something, you know, somebody will tell you something, but nobody really knows what is really underneath the skin but that man and the spirit of that man. You might think you can figure him out, you got him figured out, or that person figured out, you know all about him and so forth and so on. No, you know what you have seen and what's been revealed and possibly some things that may exist, but only the spirit of that man knows what are the innermost workings of that man. Now listen to what he says. The Bible says, again, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that's the Holy Spirit. Listen, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You can't begin to know what God's got for you without the Holy Ghost. His job is to search out everything, seek out everything, and then when you get close to God, show you everything that he's got for you. You ain't got to go to no palm reader, no fortune teller, no tarot cards, no none of that stuff. The Holy Ghost will show you and share with you what is for you if you're close to God. When you say, God, is this for me? Holy Ghost puts in. Bing. Nope. You know what I like about the Holy Ghost? You don't have to get a second opinion when the Holy Ghost. Because I got news for you. He's right the first time, the last time, and every time. But if he says yes, no devil in hell can stop, nor pervert, nor hinder you from receiving what God has for you. Because when you're close to him, it's his job to get it to you. You don't believe it, all you got to do is walk back through the works of antiquity, walk back through the Old Testament and see how God has some stuff with you that somebody else might be occupying, as he did with these cities that he promised, as he did with this land that he promised. He said, wait a minute, you've got some inhabitants on that land, but I promised it to you and I will deliver it to you when you get close to me and when the time is right. And when God brought them to the place where he was ready to present, every giant on the land had to flee, and they didn't even have to fight, because what God has for you, it's up to him to get it to you. You don't have to hook and crook and plot and plan, sneak and hide. You ain't got to go through all of the mess that the world does to get what's yours. Whatever is yours, ask God for it and say, Lord, when I'm ready for it. You already know. I already receive it. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. Notice what the word says. I want to take it from the word. Again, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. Somebody say that we might know. It's high time for you to stop thinking about and start knowing about what God has for you. Listen at this. You can't walk boldly thinking. Only way you can walk boldly is knowing. You got to, one, know who you are. You can't think about who you are. You got to know whose you are. You can't let the devil question you about who you are and whose you are. When you know who you are and whose you are, he can wake you up in the midnight hours and you can tell him who and whose you are, and then put him out of your place, because the word says give him no place. That's even in your thoughts, in your mouth, in your mind. in your heart or even in your life when you know. See, when you know that, you then begin to speak it like you know it.